Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Yes, Turon Davenport, talking Titans, now, on Robbie and Rex Road, on ESPN, 102.5 The Game, and the Game Nashville app.
It is that time of the week. We go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Turon Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD, brought to you by ESPN Bet Sportsbook. TD, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning. What's going on?
Not a lot, man. Thanks so much for taking time to be with us today. TD, we were talking earlier in the show about Will Levis, his media availability yesterday, and just some of the things he was going through talking ball. Like I said this to start off the show. You know, I had my doubts about the Levis pick, and we'll see whether or not he ends up being a great NFL player. One thing that I think that we can kind of put to bed now, like the mayonnaise stuff and all that stupid stuff around the draft process with him. Like, he's pretty clearly made of the right stuff. And I think it's been fun to see that kind of come out and blossom with him over the last couple of years here in Nashville.
Yeah, it's been fun to see the personality start to come out and just the level of seriousness that he has approaching the game. And just, he seems very polished. He knows the right thing to say, when to say it. That's been impressive seeing that for sure.
So there was a lot of reaction. Well, there's some interesting comments, TD, from Levis himself about, I guess, the friendship element here with Brian Callahan. Obviously, Brian Callahan is, younger guy, more laid-back guy. Like, it's a different vibe at the pressers and stuff like that. And also, this is something I got into it a little bit with some listeners on the guys feeling more comfortable speaking their mind, which I didn't put too much stock into, but there's obviously a different vibe. How important is that? How different do you think it is in terms of just, I guess, Callahan being more of a new age coach, maybe a little bit more, collaborative with players and coaches as opposed to kind of like the old school way of doing things?
Yeah, I mean, listen, there were opportunities for people to speak up under Mike Vrabel. You know, I remember multiple times asking him about guys stepping up as leaders and speaking up, and he was like, man, it's not just to the captains. Anybody is capable and you know, has that freedom to do that. So I'm not sure exactly if that's what Will Levis was saying, you know, as far as, like, it's different from then to now, but I mean, you look at Brian Callahan, it's clearly a more laid-back atmosphere right now, you know, and that's, I would guess, part of because of the newness. But then also, I know that when it's time to get after the guys, Brian Callahan is going to do it. You know, those are some of the things that I was able to gather, you know, when I was talking to people in the Bengals organization or media group about Callahan and how he was, you know. So it's one of those things where I think you look at the coaching staff, I think and Terry McCormick and I, we were talking about this after availability yesterday. He asked me, he said, you think these guys are more personable? And I'm like, no, I mean, the past coaching staff was personable also. But I just think that they have a little more – the coaches have a little more freedom to speak and be open. And then you look at the change with having the strength and conditioning coach, having him there, I think that's a big shift.
TD, on the Tyler Boyd front, with the additions they've made with Boyd, with Ridley, and, of course, with D-Hop already being there, from what you know about Brian Callahan and the offense that he wants to run here, what do you think the addition of Boyd is going to allow them to do schematically with those three guys that they have that are going to take up the lion's share of the snaps offensively at wide receiver?
Yeah, well, you're going to see a whole lot of 11 personnel. Brian Callahan kind of alluded to that, you know, when he said that they needed a slot guy to step up, a dedicated slot guy back on April 10th. So I expect to see that. When you have Boyd, that just gives you that guy who, and you look at what Will Levis said, right? He said he's looking forward to learning the offense from him, you know, and having him to show the receivers exactly how these routes are supposed to be ran, the spacing, et cetera. So I think when you put Boyd in there, that gives you a guy who has been there and done that, understands the scheme, and then also he could work that middle of the field. Like, that's your dedicated slot guy. And in essence, he's going to be like a tight end. So they can run 11 personnel, and it's going to look like 12 because he's playing and doing the things that a tight end would do, you know, in that middle of the field and making those tough catches.
So we finally got Bill Callahan, and he was real quick and short with the answer when PK asked him about any doubts about J.C. Latham being able to transition left tackle. No, I don't. And that was that. But I thought he had a really fascinating session. What were the big takeaways for you just from Bill Callahan, TD?
Yeah, I think I asked him about, you know, just converting Latham, you know, and he said that the thing that was really good about him was how much he understood the different things that he was asked to, you know, go over, and the players that he went against at Alabama. You know, they talked about that on the 30 visit. I thought that was interesting. I just think just his matter-of-factness stood out to me, and just quickly being able to go back to different experiences he had. You know, he said, hey, look, man, you know, I've done this before, you know, with Tyre Smith, and you know, I would like to think that worked out well. Then he referred to Barry Sims when he was with the Raiders. I think it's something where you hear him talk and just the matter-of-factness, it makes you more confident. You know, if I was a fan, it would make me more confident that he could make that switch and it's going to be fine.
Teron Davenport with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, TD, as you know, Stilly has been all over Rand Carthon for his comments about Tavondre Sweat and getting text messages from other GMs saying, hey, man, I was about to take Sweat after the pick, all those things. And Stilly has been all over Rand Carthon about just going to that line over and over again. And we talked on the show last week about how he's done some putting together of clips from years past of him saying things like that. Does Stilly owe Carthon an apology? Like, have you seen or heard about these text messages from Rand Carthon when it comes to Tavondre Sweat and the people that were actually interested in him from other general managers around the league?
I'll say this. I know that there was communication, and there were, yes, Tavondre Sweat wasn't going to drop. He wasn't going to drop in that. I don't think he would have went past. I mean, because that run started, right, a couple picks before Sweat, and they just kind of pushed it because you looked, the very next pick, the Rams bumped up to 39. I'll say this, when the Titans took Sweat, the Rams, I'm not going to say they panicked, but they upped their ante and they said, okay, we got to get up here to get one of these D tackles. So as far as Jarrett Stillman owing Rand an apology or anything like that, Rand doesn't care one bit what Stillman thinks. You know, so I don't think he owes him anything. I mean, listen, Jarrett's just doing what he does. Like, he has a time slot to fill. He does a good job of filling it. He makes it interesting, and sometimes in that becoming interesting, it goes to the outrageous part, and that's one of the examples.
I just hope he has some time to build that float he's building for the Rand parade when he gets fired. I can't wait to see what Jared's float idea is. I don't even know where to go from there. Let's stick with Sweat, though, TD, because I thought that Tracy Rocker was pretty good yesterday on him and kind of saying a lot of the same things. But one, yes, three-down player. Two, yeah, obviously they're all very committed to, you know, what they're going to need to do to try to keep him in shape and all that. Is he the most interesting thing today as we get to – for you, as we get to watch this rookie practice, or is there something else that is top of mind for you?
Yeah, it's hard to go away from, you know, a 6'4", 6'5", 300 – or 6'3", whatever he is, 366-pound person. Like, I don't think there's much more interesting. I don't think it could get much more interesting. So, yeah, that. But, I mean, look, I'm just looking forward to – I love the interaction between coaches and players, right? And I'm looking forward to seeing that for the first time with this staff. That's really what I'm looking for the most. But, obviously, you know, when you're talking about players, yeah, Sweat will be someone I want to see James Williams, too. You know, I want to see how he's able to move around. Cedric Gray also – how is he going to be able to get comfortable quickly, you know, and show that eventually he's going to be able to call that defense?
TD, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. Hope you have fun out at the Titans facility today. And before we leave, tell us about our friends at ESPN Bet Sportsbook.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you guys having me on, man. It's always fun talking shop with you. As far as ESPN Sportsbook, you already know what it is, man. It's ESPN Bet. And we're ready to take you through all the huge sports moments this spring. It's the exclusive sports book at ESPN, and it has it all. Offers and promotions with Scott Van Pelt and Stephen A. Smith. From the playoff intensity to getting on the links and out to the ballpark, there's no better time to be a sports fan than right now. Now, as a new user, you get $100 in bonus bets when you make any sports book bet. So download ESPN Bet today. What a play. You must be 21 or older. And in Tennessee, for problem gambling support, call or text the TN Redline at 800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. See the app for details.
We'll have more thoughts on the Titans coming up next. Take your thoughts on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Friday morning. I've got a $100 gift card to a Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa in Franklin to give away, and your chance to be qualified for an upgrade to a $250 gift card. Mother's Day coming up on Sunday. Be nice to have. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Caller 5 will win a $100 gift card to a Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa in Franklin. 615-737-1025, caller number 5 for Nick Kieser back there in the control room. We are live, by the way, from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Joe Titans had media availability yesterday. Will Levis spoke. Brian Callahan spoke. Bill Callahan spoke. Lots of interesting conversations with the Titans yesterday. You were there. What stood out to you yesterday about media availability with the Titans as you were kind of sorting through all the different topics?
Yeah, and Zach Woodfin, strength coach, yep, but you know, director of sports performance, or, you know, different titles, but strength coach also talked to, and that was, as pointed out, that was a change certainly from Vrabel. PK had a good piece on him at paulkarski.com and some of his comments about injury mitigation and things like that. And I mean, some interesting comments for sure. I did not get over there. I stuck with Bill Callahan talking offensive line, and certainly I took away a lot of confidence from him with J.C. Latham. He definitely went through different examples of guys he has moved over, including, you know, Tyron Smith and Jed Wills are the big ones, yeah, recently, but there are other guys in his past too that he mentioned. When he was with the Raiders, he was OC and head coach of the Raiders long ago, of course. And he's not only confident in Latham, but also just in that process. And also acknowledge that, like, left tackle, it's not, you know, I was hearing some people talk yesterday about this whole left tackle, right tackle. It really did used to be like, your pass protector, your agile, athletic tackle is your left tackle. Your big, bruising run blocker is your right tackle. And it's just, you can't really do it that way anymore. The way people line up and things like that. So you have to be able to pass block at both things. I mean, you have to, you know, ideally you have someone who's good at both things at both places. But he was interesting. I thought Levis was really good yesterday. Do we have this? I guess I want to hear this. I do want to hear this clip that people in the YouTube chat have been dinging me on, this Ed Henry with the Levis. I'd like to hear that if we have that at some point today.
We can probably get that done by the last segment.
If Kieser, he doesn't care about this show, does he? Look at him. What's he doing in there? Is he getting like the flowers? 2 weeks from the wedding. Is he doing flower arrangements right now? Look, he's not even listening to me now. He doesn't even know we're talking about him. He really doesn't. Hey, Keezer.
Hey, Joe, I'm working.
Hey, can you play that clip, buddy?
Yes, one second.
All right. We're just hanging out in here.
Joe, I'm working.
I'm sorry. I don't want to interrupt your job. But the Callahan-Levis dynamic, the quote-unquote friendship, et cetera. What's that? Go ahead. Play it.
It's just them. Does it feel like a new team and a completely new approach, maybe, things are going this offseason?
Yeah, no, it was cool to, once guys, everyone got here, and once they realized, you know, what we were looking for out of this team, out of this offense, how bought in everyone became right away. It was really cool to see the guys' emotions kind of start to come out from them. A lot of guys coming out of their shell. I feel like guys who maybe weren't necessarily very vocal guys are starting to come now be some juice guys in the locker room, which is really cool to see. So obviously, Callie and the coaches have, you know, fostered an environment where, you know, they're allowing that to happen.
Okay.
What do you think of that?
Well,
you owe the people an apology.
Nah. I mean, the thing is, when he was saying that, and there again, too, I took that more like there's some guys who are growing into bigger roles, which is what happens every year football teams.
He said
teams.
Coaches fostered
He said they fostered it. He said they fostered it. That's true. Vrabel, shut up right now. I'm talking. It's just going to be great. Especially if they have a good year.
A lot of Vrabel slander today, the last couple of days, yeah, from Titans fans.
Especially if they have a good year, it's just going to be like, oh, that idiot. Didn't fire that idiot fast enough, huh? Right? It's just an all-time pet peeve for me. But, look, I'm not, in all seriousness, I'm not dismissing the idea that, like, Brian Callahan's personality would seem to lend itself to maybe a little bit, again, more of a new age kind of environment as opposed to.
I agree with that.
Vrabel is central casting, big, glowering football coach. It's just that Vrabel, a little more of a, hey, you can come talk to me. Yeah, you can take some days off if you need it with your family, than people give him credit for.
I'll be honest with you. The more I think about it, the more I kind of like Jared's Mike Vrabel, Peter Laviolette comparison. Like, I think it's pretty good. I think it's a pretty good one.
That's pretty good. Yeah. I think so too. I think there's going to be a shelf life. But it's also like, if Vrabel got into a situation with a great quarterback,
right,
he could be placed for 12 years and keep winning. I mean, he hates losing. Just like a lot of people who are that competitive to perform at that level. Zach says there's a reason no other coaches were bigger than Vrabel. Just saying. That's a good point.
Maybe so.
Vrabel could never hire Dan Campbell to be his OC. He would not.
What was it? Rossini had the piece talking to other GMs, like why he wasn't getting hired. Well, he might be too big.
A little bit too big.
He might be a little too physically intimidating to walk in the room with.
That he is. Yeah. So now, regular sized Brian Callahan comes in, and let's all open up and talk to each other.
I would love to know who that general manager was who told Rossini that. Here's my theory. I think Vrabel's a little too big.
Yeah. He's just too big. I can't
too
hire that
physically
guy.
Imposing, and he can't hire that guy.
Yeah, he might throw me through the wall.
Yeah. I do think, like, the Brian Callahan approach, and I'm not in the locker room. I have no idea what he's like in front of the team. But just publicly, number one, like, there's a willingness to talk about a lot of things that I don't think the previous coaching staff had a willingness to talk about, which I appreciate. I mean, that doesn't necessarily equate to on-field success.
It's good for media.
It's good for media. Like, it's good for fans, I think, to get a little bit more insight as to what kind of the thought process is behind some of the decisions that they make. And there is stock. Like, if you're Brian Callahan, he has dealt with Peyton Manning and Joe Burrow and some high-profile names at the quarterback position. And for Levis specifically, like, I think if you're Callahan, you probably learn things through that. Like, if you have to learn what makes Peyton Manning tick. You have to learn what makes him operate and what works for him, what doesn't. Same thing with Burrow. Like, it's different for everybody. But I would imagine, like, going through an experience with Peyton Manning gives you a pretty good idea of how to talk to quarterbacks, right? Like, a pretty good idea of how to foster that relationship if you're dealing with somebody like that. So, that part of it, I feel really good about. Now, Vrabel was pretty good friends with Tom Brady. He didn't know Brady.
Yeah.
Not good enough friends to be invited to his roast, apparently.
Big disappointment. That, yeah. I feel like they could have added a fourth hour and had 20 minutes of Vrabel in there. Yeah. if you're Brian Callahan, you started with Peyton Manning. That's the interesting thing, is you're going from Peyton Manning to Matthew Stafford. And he's talked about that.
Yeah.
What a transition. And then you go Burrow. So, look, the background's great, and he did have a someone directly, I think, ask him about Burrow. So he said, you know, he's not Joe. Will is not Joe. And so no one should expect that, but that's a great amount of information banked from him that you would think. And look, it's not just about finding about Will Levis. It's also, okay, so he's not as good at some of these things that Joe Burrow was, but maybe he's better at other things. It's, yep. It's about Callahan and these coaches also doing whatever Levis does best and whatever gives this team the best chance to win. So, but I think it'll be talking to them, it sounds like a good partnership right now. And everybody's happy and opening up.
Everybody's happy. To each other. Everybody's opening up.
I'm with TD. I'm very interested to see just what it's like on the practice field.
Last guys suck.
Yes.
That's where we're going to miss Vrabel the most, is the practice field.
Yeah.
What if Brian Callahan's like super calm on the practice field? It's not as fun.
What if he's out there screaming?
Well,
I mean, who knows?
That's what I'm rooting for.
Yeah. Clark Lee was at practice yesterday. You know, and Clark Lee is, obviously, as we know, very calm, intellectual,
yeah,
chill guy. I've seen that guy cut it loose. I've heard that guy cut it loose on his team before, so I'm sure Brian Callahan's capable.
I'm sure.
And they're good friends, by the way.
Weekend winners coming up next here on Robbie and Rex Road. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
It's time to pick some winners. We hope. Robbie and Rex Road have weekend winners for you now on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is time for weekend winners here on Robbie and Rex Road. The Stanley Cup playoffs still going on, NBA playoffs, lots to get to this weekend, including Tennessee and Vanderbilt coming up in a weekend series here in Nashville. We'll get to all that and more in weekend winners. Joe Rex Road, the winner last week, 5-1 with his lock. I went 3-3 with my lock. Keyser 3-3 with no lock. The locks have been a problem for Keyser. If he could get that turned around, he'd be right there in the competition.
Yeah, we're going on to Cincinnati now.
He's
Cincinnati.
Kind of a lock to miss his lock.
I don't care.
Wow.
Thanks, Joe.
You got it.
Hey, standings update in the competition. I remain in first place, 41-25 overall, 9-2 on my locks, 50 points. Joe Rexroad, 37-29 overall, 7-4 on his locks, 44 points. Nick Keyser, 35-31 overall, 3-8 on his locks, 38 points in the competition. With that in mind, we begin with Tennessee and Vanderbilt coming up this weekend in the series here in Nashville. Tennessee, number one in the country. Vanderbilt, unranked, which you did not see that happen in this matchup. It's going to happen this time. Vanderbilt hoping that this is a kind of a pivotal moment for their season, very similar to how it was for Tennessee last year, when they swept Vanderbilt after not playing very well before that and went on their run to close out the season. We're going series winner here, Tennessee and Vanderbilt. Tennessee on the road in this one. I'll start. I think people are going to expect Tennessee to come in there and just blow out Vanderbilt. I don't think it's going to happen. I think they're going to win the series 2-1, but I think Vanderbilt, it's going to be a close game every time. I'll go Tennessee to win the series. But I think it's going to be a lot closer than people make it out to be. Joe Rexroad, Tennessee and Vanderbilt, who you got?
Tennessee lock.
Mm. Rexroad does not think it's going to be close.
Well, I just think it's a lock that they're going to win two or three games. Maybe a sweep. I mean, it would be significant for Vanderbilt to get a game here, but it's going to be interesting. I'm fascinated to see the reaction of Vanderbilt and also just what the crowd looks like tonight. Yep. That's going to be very interesting. But yeah, I have to go Tennessee right now, the way they're playing.
Nick Keyser, Tennessee and Vanderbilt in the weekend series. Who you got?
Yeah, I was kind of underestimating Vanderbilt when I thought that they would get swept a couple series ago. And I'm going 2-1 in favor of the Vols as well. That's what I was thinking earlier. I don't think Tony Vitello leads this squad to a sweep, although it could be close. But I think Vanderbilt does eke out a win.
Okay, so everybody going with Tennessee in the series.
Great sign.
Edmonton and Vancouver coming up in game two. Edmonton was up 4-1. In game one, Vancouver comes storming back, and they win 5-4. So they have a 1-0 series lead. Edmonton going to even things up tonight. Joe Rexroad, who you got between the Oilers and the Canucks in game two?
This was close to my lock. I'm going Oilers. Oilers are going to even the series up. I still think the Oilers are better. It's amazing they have not beaten Vancouver this season. that changes pretty tonight.
Wild. Nick Kieser, Oilers, Vancouver in game two.
McDavid goes on a tear. They're going to win. I think they even this up before going back home, and if they do so, this series could get really interesting.
Could it be that simple? Like, could we all go this way?
I guess.
You're about to change, aren't you?
I mean, I'm thinking about it. I'll go Edmonton. I don't feel great about it, to be honest with you. I'll go Edmonton. There was a little bit too much of Stuart Skinner looking like bad Stuart Skinner in game one that makes me nervous about this thing moving forward.
But when Nikita Zadorov lets one rip, man, just get out of the way.
Just get out of the way and you let that. Yeah, I guess you're right there. I'll go Edmonton. So all of us have taken Tennessee. All of us have taken Edmonton to this point. Nuggets and T-Wolves coming up in game three. Timberwolves favored by 4.5. By the way, they're up 2-0 in that series. Nick Kieser, who you got between the Nuggets and the Timberwolves?
The three-time champ is going to help them get a Game 3 win on the road. I think that would be a fun game to keep eyes on. I was watching the first two with some buddies. This one will be good, no doubt.
I'm going T-Wolves, and I'm making it my lock. I'm locking down on the T-Wolves. I'm a believer. Yeah! I'm a believer in the Minnesota Timberwolves. It's the first time that phrase has ever been uttered in my entire life. Potentially the last time it'll be uttered in my life, but I'm a believer in the Minnesota Timberwolves. I'm locking down. Joe Rexroad, Timberwolves, Nuggets. Timberwolves favored by 4.5.
Yeah, I'm going to go. I just have to believe that the Nuggets have the championship DNA to be found. They have been punked in the first two games. They've looked bad. I mean, their struggles offensively have been shocking to me. And give the Timberwolves credit. Fantastic defense. And they've got probably the rising star 2 years ago. Like, Anthony Edwards is – and very different players, but I'm just saying in terms of rising star. Ja Morant a couple years ago, that's what Anthony Edwards is becoming here, but he's a special player. All that said, I just have to think the Nuggets adjust and fight back and get game three.
We move to the individual portion of the program. Joe Rexroad, your first individual selection.
So, Knicks Pacers. Pacers minus 7.5 in a series they trail. The Knicks are banged up, and I think that's part of that line. Give me the Knicks and those points. I think the Pacers might eke one out, but I think it's going to be a better game than that.
So going with the Knicks plus 7.5 against the Pacers in game three. Nick Kieser, your first individual selection.
Staying in the NHL playoffs, I'll take Colorado over Dallas in game three and make that my lock. I like how the Avalanche can bounce back, and quite frankly, I think their defense, despite Devontae's getting blown up last night.
That smoked.
Yeah, he did. And I think they use that as some fuel in game three and get a home win.
This is when you go Costanza and do the opposite of what you're going to do.
Yeah.
But nah.
Okay.
He's just rolling with it. Yeah. All right. That's cool. Give me the Carolina Hurricanes minus 1.5. In game four.
Thought about it.
I think they get a couple to break through for them, and they stave off elimination at home before probably going back on the road in Madison Square Garden.
Who's in net, Robbie?
Game five. But I'm going Carolina in game four. Anderson will be back in net.
Real quick on that. So you said, are we not just doing puck line on all the hockey picks?
I'll take the puck line. Give me Carolina puck line.
Okay. I just want to make, you know.
Well, they're just technically favored in the game, so.
Yeah, but like Vancouver Edmonton, that's puck line.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
I'll go Carolina puck line.
Okay.
Nick Kieser, your second individual selection.
I'm going to go over to Major League Baseball. Charlie Morton is pitching for the Braves this afternoon, and they are taking on Willie Donick's Mets.
Oh, boy.
So give me the Braves over the Mets.
Braves minus 1.5 against the Mets on the pick. Joe Rexroad, your second individual selection.
Yeah, I'm sticking with the NBA while I can stick with the NBA. Usually treats me pretty well. Thunder, Mavs. Mavs, huge win last night. And then a very strange scene at Luka Doncic's press conference.
That.
I really would like to know what's going on there. For those who didn't see it, I don't know that we can really recreate it here on the air for you. But
I hope not.
Cap.
Oh, good God. But the Mavs are minus 3.5. I think they build on that momentum. And I know Luka's knee is kind of wobbly, bleeding, whatever. But I think the Mavs minus 3.5 at home. I like that.
I'm going to go Thunder plus 3.5. So
okay.
I'm going to
do
direct opposition to you. I will go Thunder plus 3.5 against the Mavericks. Joe Rexroad, your final individual selection.
And then we got Celtics-Cavs. Cavs at home plus 7.5 against Celtics. Now, the Celtics, as someone has pointed out, game two, Boston Celtics, the worst team in NBA history.
Apparently
I don't know
so.
What it is, but game two at home, they always crush somebody in the first game, and they get just absolutely rolled in the second game. I'll take those points. I like the way the Cavs are playing. I think they've found something here. Got Nashville's own Darius Garland out there. He had a really rough start to game one, and he's played a lot better since then. Give me the Cavs and the points.
Cavs plus 7.5 in game three at home against the Boston Celtics. Nick Kieser, your final individual selection.
We should have just done the Mavs and the Thunder as one of our picks. I'm picking that game as well. But give me Dallas over the Thunder because I think that Doncic and that team can ultimately take a two-game series lead. And that first game, I thought that, honestly, OKC did not look like them. They didn't look like their normal selves whatsoever.
I'm going to go with the Boston Bruins over the Florida Panthers in game three. I think Florida is better, and I think Florida probably should have won. I'm not going to say they should have won game one because they outplayed the heck out of Boston for about the first 35 minutes of the game, and then Boston turned it on and started scoring goals left and right. So I'm not going to say they should have won game one. I think Florida has definitely been the better team throughout the majority of the series at this point. Having said that, David Pastrnak throwing hands the other night with Tkachuk, that's going to fire him up at home. Boston wins game three against the Panthers.
Yeah, that is a must-watch series with the hatred going on there. By the way, Marchand's hit on Tkachuk is not going to be topped in the playoffs.
No, it's not.
What a hit.
It's a great hit. I mean, Jamie Benn smoked Devontae's last night behind the net, which Colorado fans are upset about. It looked like a pretty clean hit to me. But
just a perfectly timed hit.
Perfectly timed hit. It's part of the playoffs, baby.
That's right.
615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Our final thoughts on the Titans, on some playoff action heading into the weekend, all that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan. Today as the Nashville Sounds take on the Durham Bulls on the road. Pregame at 5:20, first pitch at 5:35. Coverage available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Sounds Baseball presented by Twin Peaks, Family Leisure, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Joe, the Titans back on the field today. You're heading over for practice after the program here today. What are you looking for today out there on the field for the Titans, the operation with Brian Callahan, all that stuff?
F-bombs. Come on, Callahan. Come on. Come on, Callie.
It's a lot to live up
you
to.
Can, you can spray some F-bombs all over the field, too, like the Vrabes
probably
used
not.
To do. Man, I will miss that. There will be a little moment. I may pour a little bubbly out.
In memoriam.
There. Like, God, this is one of the best things about covering Mike Vrabel was listening to his commentary during practice.
Why are you holding your hands like that?
I'm trying to get a question in here.
Well, then ask the question. Don't. No, I'm just saying, like, you look ridiculous.
Yeah, the more the time passes, the more I think I'm going to miss him.
I know. Everybody else wants to rip him, but we're going to miss him. But in all seriousness, just like TD was saying and we were talking about earlier, I am interested to just see what's it like out there. It's a very interesting staff. You kind of are reminded of that yesterday when they all the assistants came out, the position coaches came out. It is a very young staff in some places and a super older staff in some places. You know, it's a lot of years in some cases, and then some guys in key roles, obviously, who are in those key roles for the first time. So start there. But look, I'm most interested player wise, the top two picks. I agree with you. That's a good point. James Williams, just watching how he looks out there and some of the other picks. But Tavondre Sweat, what kind of shape's he in? What's he look like out there? How's he moving around? I mean, we get the whole practice. You know, sometimes you get drills or, the only thing we can shoot, by the way, would be drills and, like, individual stuff. But we get to watch the whole practice. So just how does he look out there? I think it starts right now. It's right now. What did he weigh in yesterday? We're not going to find that out, by the way.
You're going to bring the scale.
Now, he may tell us.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure, but yeah, I'm trying to think about this. Help me out on this. When's the last time with the Tennessee Titans there was a guy who had a situation like that where physical condition was such a topic of discussion?
Haynesworth?
Are we going back that far?
I mean, I'm trying to – I mean, well
– were there no offensive linemen? Not really, right?
Not really. I mean, depending on your definition, like Vic Beasley, did they talk a lot about his physical condition when he just didn't show up to camp?
His physical presence?
His physical presence.
Is the body
he
here?
Back there. Yeah. He's like, oh, it's Vic Beasley. He's here. Wow. But, yeah, like a situation like this, my guess is Haynesworth, right? But even like and even him, when he was with the Titans, like there wasn't a ton of that. He moved on to Washington and signed the big deal. It became more of that.
Right. I mean, he was a great player. But, yeah, I guess it usually is. It can be offensive lineman, but it usually is more like a one or three technique D tackle who would have something like that. And it's just – I'm probably what I'm writing about today too, is just the whole focus on that and the potential of him to be really good. You know, Ed Henry is here asking me for apology. No need for apology. I'm like the guy from the Muppets. I'll give you a partial apology. The last thing he said did sort of – I mean, I guess I kind of missed that yesterday. So I'll give you a half apology for that. I think that Jared should maybe apologize for the idea that, like, there was no other team that possibly could have wanted Devondre Sweat. I think you're taking a little bit of a leap on that. Because all it takes is one.
Yeah.
And now Jeremy Fowler's piece said there's no way he was falling too far. I think it's defensible the way that they went about this because they wanted him so much, clearly. So now today is the first day where you start to see how does that materialize on the field. And I'll say it a million times until we watch him play football. I think he could be special.
I think he could be too. Like, to me, would I like to know like what he weighs today?
Yeah,
sure. I would really love to know, like, what's really important is, like, by the time training camp rolls around, what kind of shape are you in, right? Like,
yes.
Like, when camp gets here and it's time to go and it's time to get ready for the season and you've had, you know, at that point, a few months to get with the Titans nutritional staff, to formulate a plan, to execute the plan, all those things, were you able to do that? Like, were you able to stay disciplined enough where you're at a playing weight that they want you to be at? Like, I'm not saying it's unimportant today. I'm just saying I'm more focused in on, like, training camp. I need you to show up in good shape.
Yeah. Whatever today is could be the opposite for training camp. He could be in great shape today, and then the summer happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like to grill out.
Who doesn't?
I can go to grill outs even better. I'll just bring, like, cookies or baked beans. And then also he could be in bad shape today and he could get in great shape. I do think it's a tone setter today, though.
I agree.
It's a little bit of a tone setter. You know, Burks was a bad tone set a couple years ago with him. So, and by the way, apparently, speaking of apologies, I don't think Treylon Burks in bad shape.
He's running over 22 miles an hour. So, I mean,
yeah, did Brian Callahan make that up? Unless he's making that up, that doesn't sound like someone who's struggling with his conditioning. I don't know. Good.
Traylon, but I know, gigantic out there, but man, can he fly when he gets moving to top speed.
Yeah. Yeah. But hey, keep scouting cheeks.
We
cheek scout.
Did we, Jared Stillman. Have we effectively put an end to the Titans can trade Treylon Burks for like a fourth round pick stuff? Like, I heard Charles' conversation yesterday with you and Kaharski. Like, it would be. If you moved on, like, honestly, like, Charles was a little bit more open to the idea of him being traded than I thought. But, like, it would be like, what, a
well,
seven?
He even mentioned cut.
Yeah, cutting him, yeah. Which I don't know if I could see that.
Yeah. There's way more value to him potentially being a decent fourth receiver than, yeah, swapping seventh round picks with somebody.
Right.
I mean, that's what we're talking about. I guess maybe a six. I don't even see that.
But he's even that, like, your more value.
Yeah.
Isn't it worth just sticking it out for one more year in an offense that is new, with a coaching staff that is new, where you're – I mean, you could conceivably say maybe the pressure's off of him a little bit in terms of, like, he doesn't have to be the guy this year. Like, how does he play in that role? And I do think – and I think TD said this before too. Like, I think you're going to find out a lot about him, right? Like, obviously the deck is stacked against him in terms of playing time right now. With the three guys they have in front of him,
How do you respond to that? Do you just kind of phone it in if you're Traylon Burks, or does that push make you push that much harder to try to get yourself on the field? I think you find out a lot about it this year.
Right. There's a totally different kind of pressure on him and Nicholas Petit-Frere, which is prove you to belong in this league pressure. Yeah. I think that pressure can work sometimes.
I think it can too. Joe, have yourself a wonderful weekend. Maybe you can get to some of these grill outs. It's going to have good weather this weekend. 75, 80 degrees. It's good stuff.
Got to do the Mother's Day brunch Sunday, though.
That's true.
That's another kind of eating.
Avoid the cicadas.
At high rates.
Yeah.
Yes, avoid those cicadas, folks.
That does it for us today. Chase and Big Joe coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.